You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Before Christmas, looking ahead to the Boxing Day fixtures in the Premier League. Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin with you, ready to dissect 10 matches in the Premier League. And first of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, chaps, and season's greetings.
Has all the Christmas shopping been done, Derek?
Don't be daft. I'm a bloke, and there's Christmas Eve still to come.
Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. And as I've mentioned before, and I'm going to repeat it, I am giving this podcast out to many of my friends and family as a Christmas present to enjoy as a download on Christmas Day. And people think I might be joking. I am not. So this better be good.
Let's get stuck in then for Tom's friends and family everywhere. We'll start with Watford versus Crystal Palace, which is 12:30 kickoff on Boxing Day. Watford 7-5, the draw 23-10, with Crystal Palace 21-10. Isaac's success to score and Watford to win was 18-5, now 4-1. Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 19-2, now 12-1. Derek, Alan Pardew gone before Christmas. Inevitability about it. And I think it was a miracle that he made it to this point, really, Derek. Only 6 league wins in 2016.
I know. He's presided over the worst sequence of results since my O-levels. And how he hung on to that job is a mystery, really. They've been useless for a year now. You know what? I've done some checking, Dave. And if over the last 4 seasons you've backed every single manager in the Premier League not to be in their job come the end of the campaign, you'd be me. No, I don't know. You thought I was going to come out with some great research there. Yeah, I like his story. Yeah, he had to go because, I mean, you know, you look at Pardew and no matter how bad the results were, and they stunk the place out for a year, he never looked like a manager under pressure. I'll give him that. Yeah, you know, he kept his cool, but he just couldn't. It looked as though he wasn't going to keep Palace up, and they had to do something because the players just weren't doing it for him. There was a sequence today's not so long ago when they looked as though they'd turned the corner. Now they look as though they couldn't win one. I don't know what to do about this game because when a club gets rid of a manager who's been underperforming and the club's been underperforming, sometimes you get a new manager bounce or at least an interim manager bounce. But I'm not sure whether Palace are up to that. And they're playing a Watford side who no one's got a handle on yet, even their manager. You can't tell what they're going to do from one week to the next. But on home territory, they're not that bad. They are a little bit more reliable at Vicarage Road. And I've just got a feeling that Palace will be rudderless for a while. And I think they're going to... I can't see them bouncing back to get a result here, to be honest, after the form they've showed recently. So I'm going to go for Watford here.
Watford 7-5 for Derek. I saw on Twitter, Tom, that this time last year, Crystal Palace were just 12-1 to finish in the Champions League places. This year, they're only 4-1 to be relegated. By the way, as well, Sam Allardyce at time of recording, 1-8 to be installed as permanent Crystal Palace boss. How do you see this, Tom?
Well, Sam Allardyce is probably the right option for Crystal Palace right now. They need somebody to organise their defence because that has been the big problem for Crystal Palace this season, is the amount of goals they've conceded. Look, I'm with Derek. I'm with most of the Palace fans. Pardew definitely had to go, but he's kind of dodged quite a few bullets or major pressure on him because I don't know if they've ever actually been in, like, you know, rooted to the bottom of the table for any period of time. I mean, you know, doing as well as he did in the FA Cup last year kind of saved him his job for a little bit longer. And ultimately, I look at Palace and I think that they've sold some players for big money, but he's also spent a lot of money and he's replaced players like for like. And I think most Palace fans would say that Andros Townsend isn't better than Yannick Bolasie. Christian Benteke is not miles better than Dwight Gayle, who I think Palace fans quite like. So when I look at this game and I think, and you know, Felix is there about interim manager bounce, that is modern football summed up in one phrase there. It's probably... because we seem to get it all the time, don't we? The only thing I look at this matchup, and Watford are a difficult team. We spoke about them a lot. Can't get my head around them. Don't know what they're going to do. But their recent run is poor. Four defeats and one win from their last five. But at home, they are a better side. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Palace. It's thrown me into the unknown. If Pardew was still there, I'm all over a Watford victory. But I'm going to play goals here. I think it's something that people and the traders maybe haven't looked at closely enough for my liking, because I look at Crystal Palace, or for my liking, Palace has got 28 goals this season. Now, that's the highest, I think, outside the top five. Now, 31 goals have been in their last six away games. There have been 31 goals scored for and against. So I think there's goals in this one. And I look at Watford. Both teams to score has landed in six of the last eight Watford home games. I can't see anything other than goals. And you can get over 2.5 goals in this one, Dave, is 21 to 20.
Yeah.
I actually think that's cracking. And over 3.5 is 11 to 4. Palace have no problem scoring goals. Absolutely zero. But defensively, they're shocking. And that's why I think this game will be wide open.
Yeah, I really like that. Over 3.5 is 11 to 4. Over 2.5 in the betting at 21 to 20. The televised game at tea time on Boxing Day is at the KCOM, Hull versus Manchester City. And Hull are 8-1 to win this match. The draw 9-2 with Man City at 1-3. Robert Snodgrass, who wants away from the club, him to score and Hull to win, was 12-1. It's now 16-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 13-10. That's now a 6-4. Manchester City's win against Arsenal was the first time they've won a Premier League game after trailing at half-time since November 2012. And they really dominated that second half, Tom. I don't know if it was City stepping up the pace or Arsenal completely losing their heads in that match, but City were good in the second half and Arsenal were really dismal and City took full advantage.
Yeah, they did. I thought they were good, but Arsenal were awful. I don't know what. Well, I know what goes on because we know what Arsenal do. But Man City, you can't take it away from them. They were good. You know, Arsenal never put them under any kind of defensive pressure, which is where you've got to try and hurt this City side. It's a pretty obvious thing to say, but if you can get at the back line, there are problems there. And even a team as bad as Hull could still cause Man City problems. Not suggesting for a second they can get the victory here. But it could cause problems in terms of maybe getting a goal. I mean, Man City, away from home, have been pretty good this season. They've won six of their eight away matches, but they've only kept one clean sheet away from home. Now, that's why Man City, for me, won't win the league. You know, I know Chelsea are on an incredible defensive run, but you have to be doing better than that away from home. There has to be more shutouts. And you have to let teams know when you go into their ground that you're going to get nothing today. You know, we're going to keep the ball off you when you do attack us. Because, you know, every home side in the Premier League, doesn't matter how bad they are, they're going to have a period of pressure, be it 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and good teams withstand that. Man City couldn't. If Hull at any point in this game get any kind of series of set pieces or corner kicks, just have a little moment, maybe at the start of the match, then Man City could crumble at any point. And I can't trust them defensively. I think they win the game, but I might take them and both teams to score it at 7-4 because I know Hull are on a shocking run, but they were lucky at West Ham, but obviously they're playing a better side. So I just can't trust that Man City defence enough. They win the game, but for me, to get the value, I'm going to back Hull to get a goal against them.
Man City to win and both teams to score available at 7-4. Derek, Tom mentioned that game against West Ham where they performed admirably but still lost the match. They've only got one win in 15, and that's a sign of a team that are doomed, I think, Derek, where they dominate the game and still don't score and still don't even pick up a point, Derek.
Times are Hull going to dominate a game probably about four times in a season, and if they can't win, then they are doomed. There's no question about it. 8-1 to win at home. I mean, really, your antenna should pick up when you see that. But they're not going to beat City. What Tom says about this game is exactly right. You know, City on home territory now. You can't really fancy City because there seems to be an odd atmosphere at the Etihad, and I'm not sure. You know, the players seem uncomfortable in front of their own fans away from home, and it seems that the shackles are lifted. They've gone to Swansea and won easily. They've gone to Burnley and won easily. They've gone to West Brom and won easily. Teams are, you know, that you bracket probably better than Hull, and City have gone there and won each game, and most of the time they've conceded a goal as well. So I'm with Tom here. City will win this game. And that second half performance against Arsenal, by the way, was terrific. It's what we should have been seeing from City all season. But, you know, they are vulnerable defensively, massively vulnerable. So, yeah, that bet, but Tom says, City to win, both teams to score, 7-4, looks a cracking bet.
Very good. City to win and both teams to score for both Derek and Tom in the tea time kickoff at the KCOM, Hull versus Manchester City. Let's move on to Tuesday's game, and this is televised as well. It's Liverpool versus Stoke at Anfield. Liverpool are 1-3, as short as you'd imagine here. The draw 4-1 with Stoke in the betting at 10-1. Enhanced odds, Adam Lallana to score and Liverpool to win was 8-5, now 2-1. And Bojan to score and Stoke to win was 16-1. That's now 20-1. Liverpool, decent recent record against Stoke. They've won 5 of their last 6 in the Premier League. And they are now unbeaten in their last 15 home games in the Premier League as well. Sadio Mane, Derek, grabbed that winner in the Merseyside derby late on. Now got 5 in his last 8. And Liverpool, for 70 minutes of that match, Derek, I thought they were fantastic. They completely shut Everton down. And Everton, they barely had a kick in Liverpool's half in the second half.
You know, I've never known a Merseyside derby where you've been, where Liverpool fans were so comfortable. You were smoking cigars. It was never a threat on the Liverpool goal. It was just, Everton were woeful. Apart from 15 minutes when he came out with the first 15 minutes when he came out with the dog of war attitude. And, you know, they ruffled Liverpool a little bit after that. It was one-way traffic and it was just a question of when. That's a wait a long time for the goal, but it finally came. I mean, I wouldn't say Liverpool were fantastic. I mean, it wasn't the free-flowing Liverpool we've seen. And what intrigues me about this match are the odds. 1-3 Liverpool, right, at home to Stoke. Now, you look, we'll touch upon this match a bit later on. Chelsea, the league leaders, on an unbelievable run at home to Bournemouth. Similar kind of fixtures to me. I mean, yeah, Chelsea are a bigger price to beat Bournemouth than Liverpool are to beat Stoke. Doesn't make sense to me, that one. Time and time again, I've cautioned about backing Liverpool at long odds on at Anfield. And time and time again, I've been looking like a chump. But I can't back them at 1-3. I'm sorry, I cannot back them at 1-3. I know Stoke are a capable side. You know, if this was a Hull or something, yeah, you'd back Liverpool all day long. But Stoke are a team that can give any opponent a bloody nose. And there's something about that 10-1 that I like the look of. Their record at Anfield isn't great. But they're a decent side and they shouldn't be these kind of odds. I'm going to go for Stoke here at 10-1. One thing I would say about Liverpool, by the way, they're in second place. The team most likely to overhaul Chelsea. And they've only played 7 home games, by the way. 10 away games they've played this season. So, you know, that's massively in Liverpool's favour. But this is a much tougher proposition than these odds imply. And I'm going to go for Stoke here to spring an upset.
Tom, one thing that came out of that Merseyside derby for me is that Jordan Henderson is a better man than I am, because I'd have been screaming blue murder at the end of that match if Ross Barkley had... That was a tackle that could have ended Henderson's career if his foot had been planted, and Henderson shrugged it off in that post-match interview. I think it might have been different if the game had finished goalless, but that was a bad challenge from Barkley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bad tackle, but I think the crowd kind of almost made him make the tackle. You know, they really get on Ross Barkley's back, the Everton fans. You know, they want him, I think, to be better than he is. And I think for Ross Barkley, he's got to leave Everton to progress his career, because I can't see him doing it there. You know, the fans are screaming at him. They're frustrated at the team's performance. And Barkley, you know, reacts in what he thinks is a good thing to do in terms of getting the crowd going. But Henderson's had long injury layoffs, you know, so I think it's even worse for players that have been out of the game for long periods. But it was probably the only real... It's not even a positive for Everton, but it was only a real sort of talking point from their point of view, because they were poor. Liverpool were good. They were in control. And I think they're going to be in control of this game against Stoke City. You know, Stoke are a big price, but they've only won 2 away games this season. They've scored in a lot of them. They've scored in 7 of their 8 away games this campaign. And I look at Liverpool and I still think defensively you can get at them. You know, in their recent home matches, they've conceded 4 in the last four home games. 2 against West Ham, of course, and West Ham didn't have to work very hard for those goals. So I think Stoke can get a goal. Look, I think Stoke are capable of getting a result. If Liverpool play as they have been doing in certain matches this season, you know, particularly I'm looking at the home victories against Watford, you know, even against West Brom, they were in control, but it ended up being close because they conceded really late on in that game when Gareth McCauley scored. Sunderland, everyone was expecting 4-5, and they won 2-0. You know, so apart from that demolition against Watford, Liverpool aren't scoring 3s and 4s at home regularly. I don't know. I'm looking here at the draw. I think the draw comes into play here at 4-1. You know, Stoke have drawn 5 of their most recent 12 games. They've won 5 as well. But away from home, they don't win. But they have had some good, decent results. So I'm with Derek on that. I can't back Liverpool at the price. But I don't mind the draw at 4-1, and I'm going to play it.
One thing just worth mentioning before we move on from this match as well is Mark Hughes has never won a Premier League game as a manager at Anfield. Played there 10 times, or his teams have played there 10 times, drawn 4. So there are a lot of draws in there and lost 6. Also had his heaviest defeat as a player 7-1 when he was with Southampton back in January 1999. Mark Hughes, his team were beaten 7-1 on that occasion. Liverpool 1-3, draw 4-1, Stoke in the betting at 10-1.
One more thing on that game, I'm just going to point out goal scorers as well. You know, Adam Lallana is still, for me, too big a price at 6-4 any time and 11-2 to open the scoring. You know, there's four Liverpool players ahead of him in the betting, but I think Lallana's as good a goal threat as anybody, and he's one of the enhanced odds as well. You know, Lallana goal and Liverpool win at 2-1, I think it's a good enhancement.
Southampton versus Spurs, Wednesday night, televised, 7:45 kickoff. Southampton 19-10, the draw 11-5 with Tottenham in the betting 8-5. Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 9-2, now 6-1. And Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 4-1, that's now 5-1. Spurs are without a win in five Premier League away games, they've lost the last two as well. Tough trip to Southampton, this one, Tom, for Spurs. Even though they're unbeaten in their last four against Southampton at St Mary's, the Saints haven't conceded at home since Chelsea beat them. That was at the end of October. And they're coming off that confidence-boosting win against Bournemouth, won that game 3-1. And Jay Rodriguez, who, when he's fully fit and firing, can be a real threat. He scored a couple in that game. So tough trip for Spurs, this one.
It is a tough trip. And Rodriguez, I thought, was brilliant in that game. And, you know, he's had such a long time out. People forget how good he was performing before he had that injury. And, you know, he's coming back and looking good. I must admit, I didn't fancy Southampton in that game. You know, I thought Bournemouth at home, I thought they'd better pull them round a little bit. And they were actually far better going forward than I've given them credit for, Southampton. Because I've looked at them this season and thought, yeah, defensively, they're incredibly tight. You know, the goalkeeper and centre-back sort of triangle. And the full-backs are probably as good as many in the league. Having not seen them, you know, loads, and I kind of look at their scorelines and look at the results and the way they've won their matches, they never seem to do it, you know, at a canter. But I was quite impressed with Southampton, and this will be a tough one for Spurs because, you know, I look at these two sides, they've both got incredible, you know, defences, work rate. You know, somebody like Van Dijk understandably is earning a lot of plaudits and speculation about his future because I think he is very, very good. And I look at Tottenham's, you know, next set of fixtures. And these games are crucial. If they're to try and get themselves back in the title race, now many will think they're out of it because they're 10 points behind Chelsea. But they've got a top four battle as well to deal with. So they've got Southampton and Watford the next two matches. Then they've got Chelsea at home, West Brom at home. They go to Man City. They've got Liverpool as well on the horizon. So there's some big, big matches for Spurs over the next month. So it's something in these games. And they've got to start winning matches. It's as simple as that. I like Tottenham. You know, I don't like betting against them because I think they're a solid side and they have got what a lot of teams in the Premier League don't have, you know, a regular and reliable goal scorer in Harry Kane. And I don't mind the Spurs price here at 8-5. I know Southampton are good, but Tottenham have got to win these kind of matches. Pochettino against his former club. I'm going to go for a Tottenham win, but I'm not going to go for many goals here. I'm going to take the Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals at 7-2. I think it'll be tight.
Derek, have you seen anything in these prices to attract you?
I stay clear of any match involving Southampton these days because I just cannot catch them right. I don't believe they're in seventh position in the league table. Yeah.
Well, they were, ridiculous. Were they? They were down in, it's so congested there. They were down in 12th when we talked about them a couple of weeks ago and we're
That's
like,
right.
Well, these Watford are above Southampton, not anymore, Southampton seventh.
That's right, yeah, just behind Man United. Well, when I say just behind, one place behind, but 6 points adrift. You look at this game and you think, well, yeah, Tottenham, because they've won four of their last five matches, the only reverse was that game at Man United. And so you're thinking they're building up a bit of a head of steam here. But for a team with title ambitions, their away record is an absolute disgrace this season. I mean, West Brom have won more away from home than this season. Palace have won as many away from home. Two wins in eight. And they haven't played the toughest opposition in all of those games. Two wins in eight matches away from home. That just isn't good enough. And only scored 10 goals in that spell as well, by the way. That's poor, and I can't trust them to win at Southampton because that is, going to St Mary's is a tough proposition. For the best teams in the division at the moment, I don't think Tottenham are that. Looks all over a draw, this, to me. I can never trust Southampton, no matter when I back them. It looks a draw, nailed on draw.
11-5, the draw. On to the non-televised games. These are all on Boxing Day, 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with Arsenal versus West Brom. At the Emirates, Arsenal 1-3, the draw 4-1 with West Brom 10-1. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win, was 8-5, now 2-1. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win, was 12-1. That's now in the betting at 16-1. And Derek, Arsenal come into this game on the back of back-to-back 2-1 defeats against Everton and Manchester City. They're the only team to have lost three Premier League matches that they have been leading in so far this season. And that pretty much sums Arsenal up, doesn't it, Derek?
Yeah, predictable. As predictable as you, whenever we talk about West Brom, getting a mention of Salomon Rondon. And
he's there on the screen, Derek. I can't know.
Well, you know, same old Arsenal. The past masters of passing, Nicole, but I've no idea who the present masters are. But it's not getting them anywhere, is it? I mean, when it comes to possession of a football, no one has a better record, apart from the old woman who lived next door to me when I was a kid. But it doesn't get them trophies. It gets them possession. You know, the stats, 70% Arsenal's favourite every game. But you look where they are, and it's not doing them any favours. I can't back them at 1-3 in this game to beat West Brom. I mean, we were talking about West Brom a few weeks ago, weren't we? And, you know, they've had some great results. And they want the shorter Arsenal to beat West Brom than Chelsea are to beat Bournemouth. Chelsea, the league leaders, on an unbelievable run. I don't understand. I just do not understand those odds. We'll talk about Chelsea in a minute, and they've got a couple of suspensions. I know that. But even so, it doesn't explain this discrepancy. I like West Brom. I hate Tony Pulis, but I like West Brom. There's something about them. He's got them. He must be a top manager because he's... You look at their squad, and they shouldn't be doing what they're doing right now. He's got them playing above themselves, and it's like a Stoke Liverpool game, 10-1. About a side that, you know, that are capable on their day. I'll kick myself if I miss this. I'll kick myself. So I'm going to go for West Brom here. I'm going to rate all the money I've spent on presents, all £5.99 of it, I'm going to recoup on Boxing Day on these big priced outsiders.
West Brom 10-1 for Derek. They've not got a great record against Arsenal, West Brom. They've just won once in their last 11 Premier League games against the Gunners. Tom, West Brom are a weird side, aren't they? Because they were looking great at home. They won three successive home games. But that game against Manchester United last Saturday, they were totally outclassed in that match. I know Manchester United are a good side, but they were completely blown away.
Oh, completely. They never laid a glove on Manchester United. And, you know, this is Tony Pulis all over. He is navigating his way through this season with all his experience, all his nous. And West Brom are winning the games against the teams in and around them. They're winning the games they should win, but they never seem to get close to the teams that are up towards the top end of the table. So like Chelsea, like Manchester United, like Manchester City recently, like Liverpool, you know, they've lost to all those teams. And I don't see this changing here. You know, the price is attractive for West Brom. But away from home, they've drawn at Sunderland, they've drawn at Hull, they've lost to Liverpool, they lost at Chelsea, and they did beat Leicester, which was a good victory. But, you know, Leicester, I think, would probably beat them if they played this fixture tomorrow. Arsenal have had a bad week building up to Christmas because their results, their two defeats, has coincided. I mean, every other team in the top five won both of their matches, their most recent game. So, you know, they've lost a lot of ground from where they should be. I don't know. I just see this being an edgy pre-Christmas game at the Emirates, you know, where I think the fans are going to be on the case of the manager again. That whole debate comes back out time and time again. It's like you're stuck in Groundhog Day. Mesut Ozil, Arsene Wenger, tactically, everything. Arsenal conceded goals at home. I'm going to go for a squeaky Arsenal win here, and I'm going to back an Arsenal win and both teams to score at 15-8. Arsenal do concede goals at home, and they have made some of their home victories very, very difficult.
Leicester versus Everton is next. Leicester 6-4. The draw 23-10. Everton in the betting at 2-1. The enhanced odds, Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win, was 7-2. Now 4-1. And Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win, was 16-5. Now 7-2. I think, Tom, you've got two teams here where the fans might be angriest. If you're looking at angry fans in the Premier League at the moment, these two teams are probably where you're looking, because Leicester City, at this stage last season, they had 38 points. This time this season, they've got 17 points from just 17 games. And Everton have lost four successive away games in the Premier League. And anyone that watched that Merseyside derby as an Everton fan, I think will have been pretty despondent afterwards, because, as we've mentioned, Everton were just annihilated in that match, even though they were only beaten 1-0 with that late Sadio Mane goal. So I think you've got two sets of fans here who will be annoyed at this stage of the season.
Dave, they might be annoyed, but you can't suggest to me that Leicester fans are angry at the moment. they've cruised through the Champions League. They've just won the Premier League. They will all die extremely happy, every single Leicester fan, having lived what they've lived through last year. I did hear a Leicester fan on the radio last week bemoaning, you know, the tactics of Ranieri. I thought, hold on a second, let's a bit of perspective. You know, I think they at least have 10 years good grace. They have a decade where they're not allowed to moan, Leicester fans, whatever happens, even if they get relegated to the fourth division. But look, I think Leicester with Vardy might have been a bit shorter. And I think the price for me at 6-4 for Leicester, I don't know whether I want to be on it because I'm still not convinced that Leicester are a very good side this season. I'm not. I was not blown away by the Manchester City performance. I know people said it was the old Leicester were back. They weren't. It was just the new Manchester City or the very, very bad of Manchester City. Leicester did take advantage of that. But the only thing that is in their favour, of course, is the home form and they're playing Everton. The home form has been decent this season. You know, they've won 7. They've drawn 3 and they've only lost 2 of their last 12 home games in all competitions. And you know, I think even without Vardy, I don't think it's going to worry them too much against an Everton side who, I don't know, Everton a strange side this year. There seems to be more talk about them sort of off the field stuff. You know, there's you know, this week again, you know, Lukaku's agent is all over the place. They're trying to give him a new contract. And you just think they seem to be so preoccupied with him and he's not doing the business for them this season. He's not playing well, but they seem to be so preoccupied with him that they're forgetting, you know, that he alone is not going to get them anywhere up to where they want to be on the table. So I just don't think things are great again, you know, for Everton at the moment. They didn't deserve to win the game on Monday, even though they were close to getting a point. And I can't see them getting anything from Leicester. I think Leicester are, you know, at home, I can say, are decent enough. Everton won winning 7. They've lost 5 of their last 6 away games. 6-4 Everton. And I tell you what, I like the enhanced odds here of Slimani to score. Leicester win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 7-1. You know, Slimani scored quite a few goals at the King Power Stadium this season. He's a decent bet, you know, to replace Vardy. Mm.
Okay, Islam Slimani to score. Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. I can kind of see why they're preoccupied with trying to nail Lukaku down to a new contract, Derek, because he's the only one that scores for them.
Well, there's a piece in the Liverpool Echo last night I was reading. I'm not the biggest fan of Lukaku. I don't think he offers enough, you know, for a Premier League striker, nowhere near enough. But he is their greatest goal scorer in the Premier League era, unbelievably. He must have had some shocking strikers before that. I think he's reached a target in a half the time that Duncan Ferguson did. I think Duncan Ferguson's target was as many broken jaws as possible. Everton were a disgrace in the second half against Liverpool on Monday. I mean, I struggled to see any kind of pattern. I was trying to work out what formation they were in. It was a shambles of a display. And there's something not right there. The players, it seems to me, I haven't heard anything behind the scenes, but it seems to me the players aren't doing it for their pumpkin face manager. They're not happy. You know what? Leicester have had a shocking season, you know, for title winners. Well, I've just been, when Tom was mentioning their home form, I've just been looking at their results this season. Some sensational results for a team that's been getting pilloried. Their home form has been tremendous. And I don't see any reason why they won't beat Everton. Everton are there for the taking right now. Shot to pieces, lacking in confidence. Unless they're on home territory. You know, if you play anywhere half as well as they did against Manchester City about 2 weeks ago, they'll walk all over Everton. And 6-4 is a very fair price.
Burnley versus Middlesbrough at Turf Moor. Burnley 2-1. The draw 21-10 with Borough in the betting at 13-8. The enhanced odds, Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 4-1, now 5-1. And Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 16-5. That's now in the betting at 4-1. This fixture pits the two sides with the fewest number of shots attempted in the Premier League so far this season. Middlesbrough have had 156 and Burnley 157. The difference is Burnley have allowed their opponents division high 111 shots on target so far in the Premier League this season. Burnley 2-1. Borough favourites to win at Burnley. But we have mentioned it. We mentioned it before on the podcast. We'll mention it again. Burnley have won a higher proportion of their points at home this season than any other side in the Football League. 16 of 17 they've got at home this season. Do you see 2-1, Derek, as an attractive price on Burnley or not?
No, I don't. I mean,
0-0 is 13-2. I think that's the shortest price of that I've seen in many years for a 0-0 draw in a Premier League game. And the only danger to it is that there might not be that many goals. I mean, it's just I can't see a shot on target in this match. Yeah, I know Burnley's home form is great, but Middlesbrough don't give you many chances. You know, the way they set up, they'll be setting up for a draw. That's Karanka, the manager's MO. And I don't think Burnley will be too upset with the draw either. I mean, the onus is on them, but Middlesbrough are a tidy side. It's just back at unders, no matter what the prices are, back unders here, because this is one match you know for a fact will not be a goal fest. I'll be back in no goal scorer around 13-2.
Yeah, if you're looking at under 1.5, that's available at 13-8, which is short, and under 2.5 is 1-2 in this game. Tom, Turf Moor, Burnley versus Middlesbrough.
And that normally means Burnley at home means I want to be back in the home side. But, you know, Middlesbrough are a side away from home. Recently in the Premier League, they've got draws at West Ham, Arsenal, Manchester City and Leicester. And they narrowly were beaten, against Southampton. I can't back Middlesbrough to win the game. Middlesbrough away from home, the only team they've beaten this season was Sunderland right at the beginning of the campaign when Sunderland were awful. They've got their act together a little bit now. And what will be a concern for these two sides is the form of the teams below them. I think at one point this season, Sunderland look that bad, Hull City are that bad, and Swansea were struggling. But I don't know whether Middlesbrough, Burnley probably thought, yeah, we've still got a fight on, but this isn't going to be as close as maybe we thought. It's a very different picture at the bottom now. You know, Sunderland have won 4 of their last 7. Palace are going to change their manager and probably make Allardyce come in, and you know what kind of effect he's going to have. So a point probably would suit both these sides. I think Sean Dyche, given the run that Burnley have been on, it's been a poor one, will be going all out to get the victory, obviously. It's whether Middlesbrough can raise the game at Turf Moor as they have done when they've gone to the Emirates and they've gone to Manchester City and they've gone to Leicester where they've managed to get draws. You know, and they did get 2 goals against Leicester in the previous away game before that trip to Southampton. But I'm looking at this and I can't see there being loads of goals, and I think the draw is probably how it will pan out. I mean, the Christmas period absolutely crucial for both these teams, and Burnley of course have got Sunderland coming up on New Year's Eve at home, so Burnley have got to look at 4 points as an absolute minimum before they go to Manchester City in the new year.
The draw 21-10 in the game between Burnley and Middlesbrough. Let's move on to Chelsea versus Bournemouth at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2-5 to win this game. The draw 19-5 with Bournemouth 15-2. Couple of enhanced odds offers. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 6-5, now 11-8. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 12-1, now 16-1. 1-0 to the Chelsea, Tom. 3 straight games they've won 1-0, and that's now 11 straight wins in the Premier League. And the overall Premier League record for consecutive wins is 14. That was set by Arsenal in between February and August back in 2002. Diego Costa is missing here through suspension. That tackle in the win against Palace, by the way, on Joe Ledley, Tom, was hilarious. Just please book me back to Brazil for Diego Costa this Christmas.
Yes, nicely timed. I was having a little scan last week of all the players that had notched up suspensions over the Christmas week, because some players in the past have been absolutely infamous for it. And look, Chelsea without their two best players this season, there's no question. I know people talking about Azpilicueta and David Luiz at the back, but Kante, you know, he leaves Leicester and they're champions. He goes to Chelsea and look where Leicester are and look where Chelsea are now. He is massive for them. And Diego Costa obviously is huge. He's the best centre-forward in the league at the moment. But I don't think it's going to matter too much against Bournemouth. Bournemouth, as people will know, they're a team that I like. I like the way they play. I've liked them for a long time. But I think I've got my head around what they are, which is incredibly inconsistent. They are basically a mid-table side. They're going to finish somewhere between 8th and 14th. And they're a mid-table side that can occasionally spring the odd surprise, as they have done this season, most notably recently against Liverpool. But I look at their other results to give me a clear indication of what they are. They didn't fancy the scrap up at Burnley and they lost 3-2. They played all right at Arsenal, but they ended up losing. They weren't great against them. I mean, Southampton were good, you know, last week, but Bournemouth weren't great. And I don't see, you know, Bournemouth, you know, won this fixture as well last season, remember, but that was when Chelsea weren't having a great time. So, you know, for putting my money on them, I don't think I want to be putting money on Bournemouth many times for the rest of the season, unless they are playing maybe, you know, a whole City at home as they have done and thump them, because I can't trust them. And certainly not in this fixture. I'm just talking more general terms about Bournemouth. Chelsea will get this win. It doesn't really matter that the two players are missing. The Chelsea win to nil, Dave, again, is a bet that, you know, people have been backing, and the price is getting shorter every single week. But I know Bournemouth have had the tendency of scoring goals, but it would not surprise you again if Chelsea just do it. They're an absolute machine at the moment. Mm. So Chelsea with a clean sheet, and Eden Hazard, I think he's going to step up with Costa absent as well.
Chelsea to win to nil, 13-10. Chelsea to win to nil here with William Hill. Derek?
That looks the best, doesn't it? 13-10 to win to nil. Chelsea, I mean, if you look at the clubs of comfort to back Bournemouth, you think, well, are Chelsea good enough to get 12 straight wins? I mean, I don't think they are. I don't think they'll patch on that Arsenal team you mentioned earlier on that when that got to 14 straight wins. But then again, you could have said, are Chelsea good enough to get 11 straight wins? And he went and did it. And this is an easier task for them. I know that they lost 1-0 at home to Bournemouth last season, a goal from Glenn Murray, wasn't it? But they were playing so bad then, Judy Murray would have scored against them. This is a different Chelsea with Conte in charge. They haven't lost a league game on Boxing Day since 2003, Chelsea. Quite incredible, that. But then again, Bournemouth are unbeaten in each of their last six Boxing Day fixtures as well. So something's got to give in that record. I mentioned this fixture already in passing, in previewing two other games. Chelsea are 2-5, bigger price than Liverpool are against Stoke, and Arsenal are against West Brom, is it?
Yeah.
So, you know, the reason they're 2-5 rather than 1-3 or 1-4 is because Costa's not playing and Kante's not playing. It doesn't bother me that Costa's not playing. I think we'll see an improved Chelsea performance. Kante, yes, jury's out. But 2-5 Chelsea will win, and they'll probably win for nil.
Do you think they should be 8-11 to win the title, chaps? Tom, do you think they should be 8-11 now, Chelsea?
Well, because they're not sure. There's no chinks of weaknesses. There's no signs. Now, things can happen and things can change pretty quickly in the Premier League, but it's a combination of Chelsea winning in a certain style and in a certain way that is pretty formidable, but likewise, their opponents being very inconsistent. I mean, Man City aren't a consistent side. Liverpool aren't a consistent side. Arsenal certainly aren't. Tottenham are way off the pace. It's why some people last week were suggesting Manchester United are going to be title favourites because suddenly they've gone on a little run. Well, Chelsea have gone on a long extended run, and I just think everything is in their favour there.
Derek?
What do you remind me of Chelsea is Man United that season, was it the Newcastle season when they just kept winning games 1-0 and Cantona 68 minutes, and it was like that. They won no plaudits for flair, unusually for the United side, but they just kept getting the job done, and that's exactly what Chelsea are doing now. And you're right, it's the inconsistency of the other sides that's underlining the consistency of Chelsea. It's a perfect storm for them.
Swansea versus West Ham is next at the Liberty. Swansea 17-10, the draw 23-10 with West Ham 17-10. Enhanced odds, Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 19-5, now 4-1. The Hammers have taken maximum points from their home games against Burnley and Hull, as was expected. But Hull could have easily taken 3 points in that game last week. They hit the woodwork three times and were certainly the better of the two sides. I think since Bob Bradley took over, Derek, the problem is you expect a new manager to come in and sort a team out defensively. Since he took charge back in mid-October, Swansea have conceded 25 goals, which is more than any other side in the division. I quite fancy them here, though, Swansea, to beat West Ham, Derek.
I haven't a clue about this fixture. Swansea are playing Bournemouth on New Year's Eve as well at home, and I'll be looking at this and thinking, well, we need a minimum of 4 points here, probably six, to give us a bit of to give us a bit of a chance of staying up. It's a winnable fixture for them, but then again, West Ham will be saying exactly the same. Two sides, I cannot get out a proper handle on West Ham. You know, just when you think, well, yeah, they are officially hopeless. They're going to win two games. You never know what you're going to get from them. The game against Liverpool when they drew 2-2, they did nothing and scored two goals. I couldn't believe it. They were 2-1 up against Liverpool. I don't know what I'm going to get from them. And Swansea, I couldn't back Swansea, at short prices. I'm not saying 17-10 is the shortest price about a home team, but they haven't done enough for me to fancy them. It's a no-brainer. This has to be a draw for me because I don't fancy either side enough to back them to win.
The draw 23-10. One stat that's quite convoluted, but I think speaks volumes here, Tom, is West Ham haven't won any of their last seven Premier League away matches against opponents that were placed in the relegation zone coming into that match. So this is a fixture this is the type of fixture in which they've struggled. They've drawn five of those and lost two. How do you see this? Both 17-10 here, Swansea and West Ham.
Yeah, it is a difficult one. I think there's two players, there's one from each side that sum up these two sides, and it's Gylfi Sigurdsson and Dimitri Payet. Easily the best two players in each side. And if they perform with their set pieces and the quality that they've got, their team could win. I think it's a matter of who performs the better out of those two. And I'd much prefer to back Sigurdsson and Payet given the season he's had. But he's still they're both capable of doing something pretty amazing. And if they play, then the teams tend to follow. But both teams are not playing well. I mean, look, Swansea have had those two home victories against teams that they had to beat. And that's kind of, I think, made people think, oh, well, Swansea are a decent side at home. But, you know, they can see goals. And, you know, West Ham have had a decent response. You know, following that Arsenal defeat, which was some harsh words said, wasn't it, from Slaven Bilic, they've had a decent response from a results point of view. Not a performance point of view, but a results point of view. My worry about this West Ham side is they might feel we've won the two games and we've got that point at Anfield, but we've won the two matches that we had to win at home. We've, you know, both 1-0 against Burnley and all. Is that it for us? Are we done? Are we safe? Do you know what I mean? I just look at that team and I think, are they going to not take it easy, but are they going to realise that they're in a scrap and they've got to go to Swansea and get something? I'm not sure about this. But the only thing I would expect is both teams to find the back of the net. And that's been a pretty common trend in both these sides' games this season. So, you know, both teams to score at 8 to 13, I don't mind. And I might just play the scoring draw here, a result that is probably, it's certainly not great for Swansea, but it's all right for West Ham.
3-1 match result and both teams to score the draw there. And we finish with a trip to Old Trafford, Manchester United versus Sunderland. 3 p.m. Boxing Day. Manchester United 1-4 to win this match. The draw 9-2 with Sunderland in the betting at 16-1. Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 6-4, now 2-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 18-1, now 25-1. Manchester United have now won their last three Premier League games and they're starting to look more like a top four team. They're getting Paul Pogba more involved now, Tom. He's found the two that play well alongside him in Michael Carrick and Ander Herrera. They allow Paul Pogba to express himself a little bit, and he definitely has been better the last three Premier League matches, Tom.
Well, we've said it before, you can't restrict him. He's that good, he's that talented. I never understood. You know, France did it in the summer to their cost, and Manchester United have been doing it. You've got to let him off the leash. And Zlatan, you know, he's scoring a lot of goals. I had my doubts about him, but he was brilliant against West Brom, and he actually looks to be getting sharper and quicker. I know it's another striker that Derek particularly likes, Zlatan. Derek, you know. I don't know, Derek, are there any strikers in the Premier League you like?
Aguero, obviously.
Okay, all right.
He's about the only one.
Three of the top five scorers in the Premier League, you're not a big fan of, are you?
So, who are they? Ibrahimovic,
Costa, Lukaku.
Christ, they three of the top five? I better hush my mouth, hadn't I? What kind of a clown am I?
And I was watching Ibrahimovic burst through two players. You know, I know it was a deflected shot, but scored that goal. And I was just thinking, yeah, not bad, not bad. You know, like, they're playing well, Manchester United, aren't they? I mean, I don't buy that they're back in any kind of title race. I don't buy it. I think Mourinho eventually has stumbled onto, as you say, Dave, you know, the right combination in midfield. Wayne Rooney looks a little bit sharper. And these are the kind of matches that are just sort of meet and drink for Manchester United. So look, they're going to win the game. Sunderland are a little bit of a shame for them, because as I said earlier, they've won four of the last seven games, but they're still in the relegation. They just cannot claw themselves out of it or for any sort of long period of time. So it's Sunderland's approach to this one. We know what Moyes is going to do. I think his better approach will be to give this a bit of a go, you know, and because Manchester United's weakness is still defensively. As I said earlier, West Brom never laid a glove on them. If Sunderland can, in some degree, you might cause a problem, but I can't see it. In fact, I see Manchester United doing this without conceding, because I just think they're playing well. They've got a bit of swagger about them, and I think they win the game very comfortably.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, by the way, him to score Manchester United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 might attract a few punters. That's been enhanced from 9-2 to 5-1. Since the start of November, Ibrahimovic has scored 7 times from just 8 shots on target in the Premier League. Did go through that spell when he was being thwarted and couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo, Derek. That seems to be levelling out now.
Yeah, he's playing well, undoubtedly. It's normal service resumed in this match, isn't it? David Moyes losing at Old Trafford. He's had enough experience of that. Yeah, United will win this. They're the shortest price. They're the hottest favourites on Boxing Day for a reason. They've won more matches on Boxing Day than any other team, 18, in Premier League history. Jermaine Defoe has scored 6 times on Boxing Day, but he won't reveal any of their names. I'm all over United here. 1-4 to win, yeah. Not many. It's not a working man's price. So I'm going to go for United -2 at 6-4 because I think this will be a cakewalk. The way they're playing right now, I mean, I mentioned last season, if there's going to be a bit, the most concerted challenge to Chelsea, I think, won't come from Liverpool. It will come from United. Now, it was just as well I wasn't on Skype because midway through that sentence, I was vomiting and actually saying that. But I still believe that. I think they're going to put a bit, they've already put a mini run together. They're the one side other than Chelsea that, to me, look capable of putting a long, long winning run together. And this will be one towards it.
You say that, Derek. I think you're a closet Manchester United fan. I really do. Anyone that wants to edit the bits of the punt out where Derek's complimented Manchester United this season, you'll have a good podcast there.
Well, I tell everyone, for years they said I was biased against United. I always denied. I said, listen, I don't care who beats United. I'm not biased at all.
Man United -2 in the betting at 6-4 just leaves us with the Christmas naps, chaps. What's the best bet? Tom, you lead us off this week.
Well, I'm going to go for the very first bet that we put up on this podcast. I'm going to go for Watford Palace over 3.5 goals. That game absolutely screams goals for me. And it's the first game of the festive weekend, so if it all falls to pieces, at least it's over and done with very early on Christmas Day.
I love that. Over 3.5 at 11-4 in the Watford Crystal Palace match. Derek?
I'm going to go for United -2 at 6-4.
United -2 at 6-4. I'm going with Swansea as my best bet to win at home against West Ham. So that treble, over 3.5 goals, Watford versus Crystal Palace, 11-4. Man United -2 at 6-4 and Swansea at 17-10. 24.31-1, that Boxing Day treble for you listeners. Chaps, thank you for your company up until Christmas. Have a fantastic Christmas with your families. Derek, thank you.
Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. I just want to take this moment to just say Merry Christmas to all the friends and family who've received this podcast. As a present from me, I would like to say thank you for whatever you have given me. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy this. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Check out all the Premier League betting on the William Hill website. Just go to williamhill.com and click on the football page. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back after Christmas with more Premier League podcast action. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll speak again soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.